Time to pull up a chair and talk some Dynasty football. I am your host, JJ Wenner, and this is the Rider Dynasty podcast. Tonight, we kick off our 2022 divisional debrief series. We're going to discuss the players and the teams you need to know before your drafts, starting tonight with the NFC and AFC North. Now, we have quite a panel assembled today, as always, starting with my co-hosts. We have our pack of precocious parents, Justin and Rob. Good to see you, gentlemen, and not putting a kid to bed. Thank you. Also, back with us from foraging in the forest for some berries. You may know him as the social media Sasquatch, but I call him the best buddy a guy can have, Don Detweiler. How are you, sir?
Dude, I'm great. It's been far too long, and it's wonderful to get back with everybody.
And pulling up a chair for the first time on the Rod Pod, you may know him from his amazing MLB and NFL content at Fantasy Alarm, or from his fantastic tournaments that he runs on Twitter. You can find him on Twitter at Fighting Chance. It's Ryan Hallam. How are you doing, Ryan?
Great, man. Thanks for having me on. It's a thrill to be on this one for the first time.
It's a thrill to see you. Now, Frosted Flakes won the cereal tournament, which I consider a shocking outcome. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is the best cereal, right?
It was funny. I did that one in 2020, and Cinnamon Toast Crunch was the winner. I was on Alarm After Hours on Sirius XM a few weeks ago, and it got brought up, and I was like, you know what? I've gotten probably a couple thousand more Twitter followers and things like that. So I'm like, let's run it back and see if something happens. I kind of expected Cinnamon Toast Crunch to win again, but it was a little bit of a surprise for Frosted. I'm a big Frosted Flakes fan. But, Cinnamon Toast Crunch seemed to have a kind of a cult following, but it did come up short in the Final Four.
So how did you start doing those tournaments?
All right. So when I very first started getting to fantasy, it was 10, 12 years ago. I don't exactly even remember the year. I had my own blog, it's Fighting Chance Fantasy, which is still going. You know, some of our friends, Brian Drake and Kevin Tompkins and Gary Haddow, and those guys are still running the site. It was just me. It was a one-man blog. So it was kind of, I had a huge love for the NCAA tournament. And as a kind of a way to get some eyes to my baseball content, as, you know, the season was starting, I decided to do this tournament as just, it ran side by side with the NCAA. So I started the same day. I ran, you know, polls, and it ended the same day. My very first one was sitcoms, which I've also done twice. So it was really just to get, you know, a little more traffic to my blog. And then when the pandemic hit and, you know, everyone was home and everyone was on Twitter 24/7, like I went from doing it once a year to just continually, like people kept asking me to come up with new ideas. So I've just kind of run with it and never looked back.
So what has been your favorite tournament so far?
I would say TV theme songs was my favorite. Like we got a ton of votes. It was some surprises. Like Sesame Street went all the way to the Final Four, which I never thought was going to be a big deal. So TV theme songs was a lot of fun. Like I posted links to YouTube. So every day when we had the polls, you know, I put a link for you to be able to listen to the theme song in case you forgot what it sounded like. So the TV theme songs was definitely my favorite of all the ones I've done.
And who won? Mr. Belvedere?
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers was the winner.
Classic.
Yeah, classic. Which you can't argue with. Cheers. I can't think of what it went against.
Cheers. That's like the Patriots winning, like literally. It's like, yeah, of course it won, but come on.
You know, it's really funny. There's like a whole like bracket, you know, society on Twitter that I've come to like kind of be a part of. And it was like, that was the thing. Like, I wasn't the first one to do that. And it was like, you know, when I started, it was like, oh, Cheers won this one and this one. Like, apparently, like, Cheers is the Patriots of TV theme song brackets, which I didn't know when I started, but it did in fact win.
Man, Boston once again dominating where I wish they wouldn't. All right. Well, before we get into our main topic and talk to all these gentlemen, Justin, what's going on with the news?
Yeah. So welcome in, Rob Potters. Welcome to Wednesday. It's always my exciting day of the week. A little bit short on the news segment this week, but two things I wanted to keep on everyone's radar as we get into the height of fantasy draft season. And so keep an eye on Russell Gage. Russell Gage went out of Tampa Bay Bucs practice today with a lower body injury. Not real sure. They're not giving a lot of detail on that. Ryan, I'm curious, with this Russell Gage injury coming out and potentially not knowing what is going to happen, is Julio Jones becoming a little more prominent on your draft radar?
I've long been a never Julio guy. He just, even with the Falcons, like, he didn't score enough touchdowns for me. Like, he always had a million catches and 1,500 yards. You know, he just always went so early that I personally always liked other guys. Like, I have Roto Wears never Julio shirt. Like, that's how against him I was. But now, like, you know, he's in his mid-30s. His hamstrings basically pull when he wakes up in the morning. Like, I just can't figure that he's going to be able to. In fact, I put a tweet out when he signed with the Buccaneers. If he played all 17 games, that I would actually eat a pile of crap. Now, I'll weasel my way out of that somehow if he actually plays 17 games. Like, I'll cut the camera or, you know, make it brownies or something. I'm not going to actually eat that. But, like, I have zero faith in this guy. Like, he's not that old, but it's just, like, it's just every year. I don't know how many games he's played lately, but he doesn't even finish games when he starts. It's just, even in this great situation with Tom Brady, and now with their offensive line just losing a guy, it seems like every week, you wonder how much time Tom Brady has. And, like, you know, I drafted Tom Brady a lot early, like Scott Fishbowl and that kind of thing. But, you know, now when I'm doing Razz Bowl or drafting with Giants, like, I kind of shy away from Tom Brady. Like, his whole thing is comes from having time and a great offensive line. And the fact that they lost one guy already for the year and another guy went down, I think, yesterday. I haven't seen, like, the exact extent of the injury, but if he doesn't have a great offensive line, I'm a little worried. And now with, you know, Godwin, it should be okay, but Gage now, I'm starting to worry a little bit about the Tampa Bay offense.
No, I hear you. I mean, they're kind of like the all-time hammy injuries, right? You got Mike Evans and Julio Jones on the same roster, so it's kind of interesting to but keep an eye on it, fantasy fans. I mean, I think Julio potentially is a late round flyer you could potentially draft in your deeper leagues, and obviously just to take it. I mean, he's still Julio Jones and it's Tom Brady. You never know. The other news that I did want to point out is Melvin Gordon does have an undisclosed foot injury for the Denver Broncos. And so keep an eye on that. Don, what are you thinking if Melvin Gordon is potentially, you know, is if that injury is going to hamper him a little bit, what does that do for Javonte Williams?
Well, Javonte Williams is already basically the RB1 anyway. So realistically, I don't know that it does that much for him, because I really did think that this year in particular, and considering the contract that Melvin Gordon was given to come back, basically dictates that it's the Williams show at this point. You really need to know what you've got. So, I mean, it's disappointing for those who had Gordon, but realistically, if you had Williams, you were really happy before and you're still really happy. So I don't know that it really moves the needle all that much.
No, that's a good point. It's a good point. All right. Well, JJ, it's back to you. We got a full slate today, so I wanted to keep it a little short.
Well, I appreciate that, Justin. And let's get right to it. Last week, we had on Mauricio Gutierrez and Santiago Casanova. They joined us to talk about instant impact rookies. If you missed the episode, please check it out on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. As I said, tonight we begin our divisional debrief series. We are going to discuss each and every team, providing you with one player you must draft, one you should avoid, and one sleeper who you want to stash. So let's get right to it. We're starting with the AFC North. Ryan, let's talk about Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you know, I really like the whole team, as weird as it is, because it's obviously a different situation. Ben Roethlisberger's gone. You know, they bring in Mitch Trubisky, who everyone loved last year as, you know, the backup quarterback. He gets a chance in Pittsburgh, and now everyone's crapping on him as the quarterback. So it's like, last year everyone thought he deserved a chance, he's going to be something decent. Now he gets a chance, and everyone thinks he sucks. So I'm not really sure, but I like his weapons. Najee Harris, obviously, I'm seeing a lot of stuff on Twitter. Now all of a sudden he's not good enough after he was really good last year. I'm not really sure. I love Deontay Johnson. He gets a ton of targets. And of course, George Pickens is everyone's next pick for Jerry Rice.
Yeah, I love that. So who is the player on this roster who you have to draft?
I'm a Deontay Johnson fan. You know, I always say wide receiver, you can't catch the ball if they don't throw it to you. And this guy just gets target after target after target after target. Like, it was like 10 targets was almost his floor last year. Now there's a few games where he didn't quite get there. It was like six or more, but they just funnel the whole offense through him. I just think he's going to, there's no reason why he's not going to be a huge part of the offense again this year. I know it's a different quarterback, but Ben Roethlisberger wasn't exactly lighting anything on fire last year. You know, Mitch Trubisky, fine. If he's going to be a check down guy, great. It's going to be Najee Harris. It's going to be Deontay Johnson. He doesn't run 40 yard, you know, fly patterns. He's a possession receiver. And I don't see any reason why he's not going to have a huge amount of, you know, targets again this year. He's available in the fourth or fifth round. And if you, you know, if you're someone like me who likes to draft two running backs early, he's an absolute just stud for, you know, a wide receiver two in the, you know, the fourth round.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Rob, where are you on Deontay Johnson?
I've always been a big Deontay Johnson fan. I'm a little worried. I don't know if I'm taking him at his ADP. My concerns don't come from Deontay Johnson's skills. It's Pittsburgh's moving him around a little bit. It seems like they want to use him as a Y, maybe even an X. It seems like they want to move Chase Claypool into the slot, which I'm a little confused by, but maybe it helps Claypool's struggles last year. And it's a strategy to get Claypool going again. So I'm a little worried about that change, him seeing a little bit different, a little bit better DBs on him potentially, along with, I mean, Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett isn't inspiring, but I do agree with Ryan. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger last year wasn't anything. I think the quarterback play overall will be improved, even if they throw the ball a little bit less. So I still really like the player, just not at ADP.
I think that's fair. Ryan, who's somebody who you are avoiding?
You know, it's interesting because there's no one that I really don't like, but I'm going to go with Claypool because I think, you know, if we're going to go with anyone in the offense, we're going to go with a deep ball threat. Trubisky is like, you know, we both just said he's iffy at quarterback. So is he going to be able to throw the deep ball accurately? I'm not 100% sold on that. And Claypool really had a lot of games last year where he wasn't really that good. You know, a lot of 2 for 26 kind of weeks last year. I know his ADP has fallen a lot last year from where it was the year before. But if there's going to be someone, I like Najee Harris. I like Freiermuth. I like Deontay Johnson. So if I'm going to say someone that I'm not so high on, it's going to be Chase Claypool.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, although I have my own reasons, right, Don?
Indeed.
I'm anti-strange eye black.
Okay.
I think if you spend too much time putting your eye black on, I don't know. It seems, I don't know, it's like somebody having pink hair. Don, where are you on Claypool?
I'm intrigued with Claypool, but at 108, I still think that's a little rich for my blood, and I'm not really targeting him, but moving him into the slot is interesting because they're just trying to take advantage of size. A 6'4", 220 guy basically just has to turn a little to the inside and he's uncoverable. So given the state of the game and the rules of the game, it's an interesting move, but it's not permanent. Bear in mind, I mean, they're going to move everybody all over the place. Last year, they really couldn't run Matt Canada's offense because Ben couldn't move at all. This year, it's the triumphant return of something called play action, which they never did under Ben. So you're going to expect to see a different Steeler offense because they're going to do some very different things because mobility is back at the quarterback position, and that's going to change a whole lot of what they try to do.
Very good. Ryan, who is your sleeper? Do you have a sleeper for the Steelers?
So this is going to go against everything that I just said this entire segment. I'm going to say Mitch Trubisky. Like, all right, so there's not a lot of sleepers on this team. Like, George Pickens, all right. Like, everyone is losing their mind for him. He's still a sleeper, but I'm not 100% sold that he's going to have, like, a huge fantasy role in his rookie year. It's a week into camp. Everyone's still in shorts. You know, it's still, like, I'm not all of a sudden going to say he's going to step in and be this big deal. But if I like Najee Harris for pass receptions, if I like Deontay Johnson for a lot of catches, Chase Claypool is, you know, can catch some deep balls, and, you know, a tight end, I really like him as well. So the quarterback might do something, you know, and he's being drafted not at all, obviously. I mean, even in Superflex, he's probably your third, you know, the guy you draft on your bench, you know, for when your first two quarterbacks are out. But again, there wasn't a lot of flashes for the Bears. But, you know, again, everyone was like, oh, last year was like, oh, Trubisky deserves another chance. So, like, he's got his other chance. He's got some decent weapons. So I wouldn't be shocked if he comes out and is at least not obviously a one quarterback league. That was, if he came out and was one quarterback league fantasy relevant, that would surprise me. But if he was, you know, a quarterback 15 and was like good in super flex leagues, that could be the sleeper for this team.
Yeah. Personally, I'm keeping Mason Rudolph on speed dial.
He's had chances and he's terrible. I don't care what they're saying in camp.
I know. I'm just saying, in some leagues, like especially super flex leagues, where I punt that third QB.
Yeah.
He's somebody who is going to be on the waiver wires. I'm hoping.
Yeah, oh, like, definitely.
Come like week 4 or 5 when he might get a little bit of play. Now, gentlemen, the over-under, according to DraftKings, for the Steelers is 7 wins. You don't have to tell me why you're going to answer what you're going to answer. You just have to answer. Ryan, over-under, 7 wins.
I'm going to go under.
John.
Over.
What hat are you wearing? Is that a Pittsburgh hat?
Penguins, yeah.
Oh, Justin, over under.
Mike Tomlin, I'm going over.
Rob?
I'm taking the under.
Thank you, Rob.
I am also taking the under 7 wins. Next up, Justin, my beautiful bald friend. Why don't you tell me about Baltimore?
Yeah, so this is one of the favorites for a worst-to-first type pick this year, and that's the Baltimore Ravens coming off of a season last year where obviously Lamar Jackson got hurt. I really like what they did in the draft, and that's kind of like a broken record, right? If you've done anything with football analysts all across the country, they're all loving the draft. They had 11 picks in, or 12 picks in the draft this year. They went into the heavy tight ends. J.K. Dobbins is coming back. Lamar's coming back. He's trying to get a contract. Will he get it before the season? Or I'm kind of hoping he doesn't, right? So maybe he's just playing for that big bag. So very excited about the Baltimore Ravens this year. And I think that they have – they're kind of – it's ripe for them in the AFC North with everything that's going on with those – the other three teams in that division.
Interesting. So who is your one must-draft player for this team?
Well, the must draft has to be Mark Andrews, right? So you've got a tight end that had 156 targets last year. He's more than likely going to repeat the same this year. Nobody really came in from a pass catcher perspective. Lamar's going to be healthy all year. Yes, he did get more targets when Tyler Huntley was the quarterback, but at the same time, they lose Marquise Brown. You know, Bateman's probably going to take a step forward, but Mark Andrews is going to be that number one, and he's going to be that target in the red zone. And, you know, you've got J.K. Dobbins coming off of injury. You're kind of thinking that run game may lag behind a little bit in the beginning and Lamar may come out throwing the ball more. And so he's going to be a touchdown magnet in the red zone.
I like that. Ryan, are you as high on Mark Andrews?
No, I honestly am not. Like, he is so far above what he ever did in his career last year. Like, I feel like he's being overdrafted. Like, I just can't see like, – it was like ridiculous. I don't have his stats pulled up, and I'm sorry. I'm gonna talk a little bit while I do that because it was like ridiculous, like how much more he did last year. And your points all make sense, like obviously. But I really do think that they're going to run the ball more. He had 43 more catches than he ever had before in his career. He had 55 more targets than he ever had in his career. He never had more than 852 yards. He had 1,361 last year. Like, it was so ridiculous what he did last year over what he ever did before. I just feel like, and he's going like the second round. I just feel like he's being wildly overdrafted. I can't see him doing the same thing. You're so right. Like, they lost Marquise Brown. They don't have a really reliable wide receiver, but he was just, it was almost 10 targets a week. And I don't see him being able to match what he did last year. And I think he's being overdrafted.
I like the taking of offense. I like that. I like that. All right, Justin. Well, who are you avoiding?
So this is definitely on a redraft perspective, but I'm kind of avoiding J.K. Dobbins. I don't really want a running back coming off of a multi-ligament injury in the knee, just because even if he's going to give you something in the second half of the year, you're going to have to draft him as your quarterback one, as your running back one, or your running back two, depending on how heavy you go running back early in the draft. That worries me a little bit because he's probably going to take 6 or 7 games to really get back into it. Yeah, he's a year out, but again, it's a multi-ligament injury. It takes longer for those guys to heal and get back to 100%. It's a great offense. They're going to be running the ball. Typically, there are a above 5 yards a carry type offense, but that injury is just a little worrisome, and they did draft a couple more running backs. That running back room is full, so I could see them using a lot of different guys a lot during the season.
Yeah, they're definitely a team who loves to rotate those guys in, Rob. Now, JK said that all of those fantasy football doctors were wrong. He was healthy, and he's going to be back. We've had positive news this week. Are you avoiding JK?
I'm not. Where he's fallen in drafts, I'm willing to take that risk for the upside, but it's a lot of things that Justin hit on. I mean, he's not going to catch passes. Lamar's not going to check it down to him. Lamar's going to take off and run. So his upside's capped, but I am comfortable where he's going in redraft leagues currently. I'm not a big fan for Dynasty, though. I have sold in some areas where I have him.
Okay, so before we get to your sleeper, Justin, I guess a question for the panel. Are we concerned at all about the type of offense that Greg Roman runs? Like, I know he was the one who sort of unlocked Lamar, but is his ceiling capped because of what Greg Roman does? Or is he the reason why he is good? Does that question even make sense, Don?
Yeah, no, I totally got you. And, what makes this offense is Lamar's unique abilities. Otherwise, the offense is written in crayon and should be found on some small high school field somewhere else, because that's really all it is. And it's just so far different from the entire rest of the NFL is why it functions. They've been able to assemble a dynamic and ginormous offensive line that just wears down all of these pass rushing teams. You put an uber athlete back there as a quarterback who can rewrite the script whenever he wants. Yeah, it's gonna work because there's just no answer to that.
Yeah, I agree. It's like it doesn't really, it almost doesn't matter. I don't feel like who the offense coordinator is. It's like this is Lamar. This is what you have. This is what you have to basically run. Is, you know, he's gonna run a lot. They're gonna, you know, they're gonna hand off some. He's gonna throw a bunch of passes, you know, 25 tops, and you know, we see what he can do if he's accurate that day. So. I think, you know, it's more a product of who's the quarterback than who the offensive coordinator is to me.
I think you got to keep in mind with this offense that we saw flashes last year of something entirely different. And I cite back to the Kansas City game and the Indianapolis Colts game where Lamar threw the ball 40 times in the air. You're hearing out of camp that Lamar is taking more of a role in the offense and calling more audibles and things at the line of scrimmage. I think it's hard to say what's going to happen with Roman's offense this year, and it's really going to be in Lamar's hands to whether he can take that next step as a passer, because we all know how dynamic he is with his legs. We all know that defenses are going to look to hopefully keep him bottled up, and the only thing he will be able to do is to adjust and to use his arm to kind of get the ball down the field and definitely take some more of those big chunk plays, which they did not have last year. And so I think it's up in the air, right? So I think this is a big year for Roman and Lamar, and it could be an interesting outcome depending on what the results are.
Well, keep going, Justin. Tell me who your sleeper is for this team.
So I thought real hard on this, and same as Ryan with the Steelers, right? It's like Pickens could be an easy sleeper. Bateman's obviously not a sleeper anymore. He'd be one. You know, a deep sleeper that I would potentially keep an eye on. It's probably not Prochet, because I think Prochet is getting a little bit of the camp hype, and I don't know how truthful that is. I really like Devin Duvernay coming out of college. I think he has a really good athletic profile and somebody that could really slot into that slot role, not to pun intended, but could really get right into that position in that offense and become a reliable target for Lamar to move the ball down the field and get first down. So I think Bateman's more of that deep threat, somebody that can be on the outside. You're not going to move Bateman around a lot. He didn't go inside in the slot a lot in college. And so I think Duvernay gives him another target to really move the sticks. And that's a deep sleeper for me. He's been injured to start camp, which is not good because that's been his problem since he came out of Texas, I believe. But he's one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I'm going to second that. The Devy Dirtbag loved him. He did a debrief on him when he was a Devy player. And I always like to remember John Harbaugh was a special teams coach. And Duvernay is a special teams ace who really showed up in the return game last year. So I'm hoping he can make that transition. Definitely a deep sleeper, but somebody I like to keep an eye on. Gentlemen, over under, according to DraftKings, is 9.5 wins. Ryan, over under 9.5.
I'm going to go slightly under.
All right, Don.
Under.
Dustin.
I'm going over.
Rob?
I'm with Justin, over. They've got a pretty easy strength of schedule this year. I think they get to 10.
Yeah, I'm going the over too. They come back a little bit healthier, so I'm feeling a little bit better about them. Now, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody for tuning into the Rider Dynasty podcast. Make sure you like, subscribe, and follow. Do all the things that so we can keep doing what we do. If you want us to do something different, hit us up on social media. Remember, we are on Twitter at Rider Dynasty, and we're also on Reddit, username Rider Dynasty. Let us know what you think. Let us know if there's any issues or something you would like to see us do differently. Don, your favorite team in the AFC North? Nah, I'm just kidding. Let's go to Cincy, buddy. What do you have for us?
Yeah, that's crazy. What a world we live in when we have four Bengals that are going in the first like 2 to 3 rounds of the draft here in all regards, coming off of a Super Bowl appearance, and they probably peaked too soon. But the ability to catch lightning in the bottle is certainly an ability. I want to talk about a team that's really figured out, though. Look at those skill positions. They're basically set. They have three really, really good wide receivers. And unless you're drafting in the top six, you're not going to sniff their wide receiver one or their quarterback one. So too bad, so sad. It almost doesn't really merit talking about other than Burrow coming back off of appendicitis. So he's going to be a little laid up. It hasn't really partaken in camp other than he's still there yelling at everybody. And from all reports, he's been extremely involved with keeping everybody going. But the player that I'm really interested in this year isn't necessarily he's really not. It's Joe Mixon. I think you can get him, though, and I think he's attainable because he's 26 and he's coming off a season where he had 334 touches last year. So we have a high use back, but he just turned 26. So he's starting to get to that point where he's starting to age over. Dude's good. I mean, real good. 1,200 yards last year, 13 scores, and that's just the groundwork. It's a dynamic offense he's perfect fit for. And the upside here is the investments they made on the offensive line. Even though you're starting to see some injury stuff with Lael Collins, it's still, they added so many pieces that even the depth, the sixth, the seventh guy, are still better than the starters they trotted out last year. So it's not so much that I expected him to get more touches. I think that's going to stay about the same at his 20 to 21 touches a game. I think it's going to be the value that you get out of those predicated on better blocking and a higher win rate on the ground. So now, the guy, Don, I'm higher on is Mixon.
Okay. Question for you, though. There has been some concern in camp about his pass protection. No, it's not a big thing, but I was like, I wonder how he did. So I looked at PFF. Of all the running backs with 600 or more offensive snaps, the only two backs who were worse than Mixon and pass pro were Kamara and Jonathan Taylor. Now, I don't think it's going to really affect him, but he might lose some of that third down work. Because he's so horrendous.
Oh, he's bad. He's real bad. But the problem is, so are the dudes behind him. You've got Evans as a second year back coming out of Michigan. He was a later round pick. And Pirine is what he is at this point in the league. Like, look, there's not enough push behind him to really predicate that change. That, yeah, I mean, if it's third and forever, they may take him out, but he's still going to get used in the screen game. He's still going to get used in the swing pass, and he's talented enough that he can run the minor underneath wheel routes and swing routes. So, I mean, yeah, don't ask him to block because it's probably not going to go your way, but he can. There's so many ways that you can utilize that underneath. That even if he can't block the guy, maybe he just chips and wheels and then here's his reception.
Well, who are you avoiding then in this offense?
Look, the whole reason I don't want him is ADP. It's T. Higgins in this case. Call it what you want. Dude's wide receiver two here because the one is so stinking dynamic. Jamar Chase is just going through the roof and will continue. He's a dynamic talent. Not that Higgins isn't, but Higgins is definitely more your big guy. And the way it goes is his ADP right now is between 31 and 36, depending on your format. So you're investing at that level for a guy who on 110 targets last year got you just under 1,100 yards and six scores. So where are the extra targets to really balloon that going to be? That's a good percentage completion. So we don't expect he's really going to find much more. I just think he is what he is at that point.
Now, Ryan, I saw Don's choice there made your eyebrows go up a little bit. What's your thought on Higgins? Is he somebody you're avoiding at that ADP?
It's very close. I mean, it's a little close to being too rich for me, but also like he's a huge red zone target. And, you know, so much of Chase's production last year was big explosive plays. Which, you know what, he's dynamic. It's within his capabilities to do it again this year. But some of it, I don't know if it's repeatable. Like, you know, he had how many 79-yard touchdowns after, you know, a 15-yard catch can the guy have? Can he do that again this year? While T. Higgins is a big-bodied guy, when they get in the red zone, that he's proven in his career that Joe Burrow trusts him, and I think that he's due to increase his six touchdowns from last year. So I think not only is he a good reception guy, but he's a fantastic target in the red zone. So, you know, his ADP is like right on the fence for me. Like it's almost a little too rich for me, but I still kind of like him because I think he's just such a good red zone target.
Yeah, it's like Vegas lines, right? Like sometimes ADP really puts you in a bind. Like they nailed that one. That's exactly where
it's almost like early third round. It's a little too much. Late third round kind of feels really good. Mid third round is like the sweet spot, and it's like he falls in a very different spot in like almost every draft. So it's really kind of, it's almost draft specific for T. Higgins. He's a very kind of a unicorn player right now.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, it is what it is. And just based on the ADP, and that's the only reason I say this is based on the ADP. You could wait around and you can get a DJ Moore or a Pittman who's going to dominate their targets on their team. So it's like, what do you want?
It's really like, going to be whether or not Jamar Chase is Tyreek Hill, where he's able to repeat explosive plays year after year, or if he's like a DeSean Jackson who, you know, can have a year or two where he really blows up. But the second those deep scores go away, there's not as much. I mean, I believe in Jamar Chase. I also like T. Higgins. Who is your sleeper, Don?
Sleeper on this team, I mean, and look, it's a roster that is really figured out, is the tight end, Hayden Hurst, coming in. He's a guy you can have at the complete back end of drafts or maybe even as undrafted. I mean, right now his ADP is like 211. So he's an afterthought. But the absence of C.J. Uzomwa vacates about 80 targets. And at 80 targets, given the right targets, there could be some value here. Look, I'm not telling you to run out and get him. I'm not telling you to trade crazy aspects. But as a sleeper at the back end of a draft, as your tight end two or three, you could do way worse than a chance at a guy who knows, he may carve himself a role. And now that he actually has a real quarterback, really athletic dude, there may be some growth potential here.
Justin, I see you grinning from ear to ear. Are you drafting Hurst late in your drafts?
Only in best ball. I mean, I think we're with the first three teams we've got there, we're so designated with the players on those rosters that we're all kind of searching for a sleeper to give our audience here tonight. So, you don't want to give them the regular. I think Hayden Hurst is perfect for best ball. So if you're in best ball, definitely throw a deep dart throw on him. He's just going to be very touchdown dependent, same as Uzumo was last year in this offense.
Yep.
A deep, deep sleeper. Stanley deep Morgan out of Nebraska reminds me, like, this is for deep leagues, but it reminds me of like a slightly smaller Quincy Enunwa when he came out of college. Like, I know it's the same school. That's why I kind of picked Quincy. They both went to Nebraska, but just somebody to keep an eye on. You're never sure what's going to happen with injuries, but maybe waiver wire.
He's been on their practice squad for like 6 years now.
Which means they like him.
He's got to know that playbook. He's got to be able to step in and run any role they
Rob,
want.
Rob!
It only takes one chance. One chance, Rob.
You love to shit in my tournament-winning Frosted Flakes, don't you? You definitely do it, but I appreciate that. I mean, Hurst has to be better than Chris Herndon. all right. Well, Rob, since you are talking, let's go to Cleveland. Ooh. Oh, no, we didn't do the over-under. I'm sorry. Over-under, 10 wins, Ryan. 10 over. Wins. Over.
Over. Yeah.
Don.
I like the over.
Justin.
I'm going to go under here.
Rob.
I'll take the over.
I'm going to go with the under.
Litmus test. The litmus test is week one. I think, you know, they caught lightning in a bottle last year. They're going to run up against the Steelers defense in first week. It's going to be a big test.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. Let's finish off the division with the Browns.
Man, what is there to say about Cleveland that hasn't been rehashed on, you know, weekly legal updates, everything else? I think what's clear with there. Cleveland is they are all in. Whether or not they have a quarterback or not, they traded the house for Deshaun Watson. They made a trade for Amari Cooper. They went out and got I hesitate to call him an alpha, but they got a good receiver for cheap. Restructured both of their contracts immediately to help out this year. It's clear the chips are in and on the table, and they think they're a better team than their 8-9 record were last year. It's yet to be seen, especially with a looming suspension, 6 games to a year to beyond that. Who knows? They're such a difficult team to predict and talk about.
Well, who is the player you have to draft on this team?
I struggled with this one quite a bit. I don't necessarily think I have to draft anyone at their ADP, but if I have to pick someone, it's Amari Cooper. He's going as the wide receiver 24. He's coming off the board as the 59th player. He's going at wide receiver 28 in Dynasty, 4 spots behind his positional rank here in redraft. And his last couple of years, he's put up about 14.5-15 points per game PPR. Last year was a down year. He was 13.5. He finished 27th. The year before, he was 15th. The year before that, he was 10th. And then in 2018, he finished 19th. And that was a split year, part on the Raiders, part on the Cowboys. So I think you're drafting a player, even in a run-first offense with the questions at quarterback, you're drafting a guy at close to his floor. This is probably the most clear and largest target share that he will ever get. I'm not out here saying that he's a target hog, but he's going to be a target funnel on this offense. Who else do they have to throw to? They've got David Njoku, if you believe in him. They've got Donovan Peoples-Jones, who I like, but he's not a proven number two. They've got David Bell, who I also really like, but they've got no one proven on this roster except Amari Cooper. So I think he's a great value coming off the board at wide receiver 24. And I think he'll be a smash play to exceed that. And even with Jacoby Brissett in the first 6 games, they've got a soft schedule. Their first 6 games are winnable for the most part. They open with the Panthers, then they go to the Jets. They have the Steelers, who are not the Steelers of old, the Falcons, the Chargers, which is the sure loss here. And they finish with the Patriots. And as of right now, Deshaun Watson comes back after that. They can easily escape that schedule with 4 or 5 wins, and Jacoby Brissett should be able to keep him in games.
So who are you avoiding on this roster?
It feels painful to say this because I love the player. He's the definition of better in real life than in fantasy, but it's Nick Chubb for me. He's a little too rich for me at the ADP of 17 and a running back 9. He's the primary option. Well, not the primary option. He's the 1A, but he doesn't catch passes. I thought Nick Chubb could be an outlier, someone like Derrick Henry, who doesn't need the passes to get you that consistent fantasy one RB1 finish. But time's shown that he's not that. Kareem Hunt's going to eat into this. The only way he returns on his RB9 draft stock is if Kareem Hunt's traded or misses time to injury. I think you're drafting a player at his absolute ceiling there and not at his floor. And for that reason, he's someone that I would like to avoid, even though I do like the player quite a bit.
Yeah, you're somebody I'd like to avoid because I like Nick Chubb. Who's your sleeper?
My sleeper for this year, it'd be Donovan Peoples-Jones. But for my overall sleeper, it's David Bell. I just want to highlight some time on him for dynasty purposes. The dude's taken a massive tumble in value after a poor combine. He was the PFF number 10 graded wide receiver coming into this class. He was extremely productive in college. He lined up in the slot about 15% of the time in college. It's going to increase. I think he's going to be a jumbo slot in the NFL. And he's difficult to bring down in the open field. He had 25 forced missed tackles last year in college, which was second at the position. Great hands. I think less than like 7 or 8 drops his entire college career. And he's back in camp after a stress fracture in his foot. So he didn't miss a whole lot of relevant time here. He still has a chance to build some chemistry and hit the ground running this year.
Yeah. It's almost eerie, right? I mean, he was compared to Jarvis Landry after the combine. Then he goes to the team to replace Jarvis Landry. So I like that. I like that call. Now, gentlemen, the over-under for Cleveland is 9.5 wins. Now, that line was pulled by DraftKings. They're the only team now. The Browns do not have a line because of the Deshaun Watson news. So let's say Deshaun Watson is just out for 6 games. Are they over or under 9.5 wins? Ryan?
Honestly, I think with Deshaun Watson, 17 games, they're under 9.5. That's crazy to me. That's high. I'm going well under.
John?
Under, absolutely.
Justin?
Under.
Rob?
Man, I'll take the over here.
You'll take the over just to be a contrarian?
I think they walk out of their first 6 games with at least 4 victories, if not 5. They've got a bunch of winnable games early on while they're going through a quarterback transition. And I think they can sneak in.
A lot of teams see the Browns on the schedule and think it's a winnable game too.
Rob saved himself because he started with that first of the season, like easy schedule Cleveland has. And I'm sitting here thinking week 5, they're playing the Chargers. Like, what are you? Come on, man. You're killing me right now.
That's the only game they're going to get boat raced in. I think every other game will be competitive, at least for fantasy purposes, and probably winnable for them.
All right, well,
I'm going to go the under. I'm going with the crew, especially since you disappointed me so much, Rob. I'm going with the under. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to take a minute at the halfway point of the pod to remind you that we are giving away a signed DeAndre Swift Lions jersey. It's the beautiful baby blue, to a lucky listener. All you need to do is leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. When we hit 100 reviews, we're going to draw a winner and send that winner a signed autographed jersey. So check out the show notes. If you're watching YouTube or a podcast, all the links are there, and leave a review. Well, gentlemen, let's kick it off for the second half. Going to the NFC. I'm sorry. Yeah, the NFC North. We'll start with Chicago and Don. What is going on in the Windy City, sir?
Oh, the Bears. So much sadness for the Bears. Roquan wants out. When your middle linebacker wants out of Chicago, it's just a clear statement of the state of affairs. But look, it's an interesting offense because we don't know what the offense is. News coaching staff, thank goodness Matt Nagy has been ejected into the sun or something. And we have an entirely new system coming in. Enter offensive coordinator Luke Getty, and something similar to what Green Bay had tried to do with a quarterback that's, well, a bit younger, but certainly has some premise and some possibilities here for talent. Fields is interesting, but the guy I'm higher on than the consensus is Cole Kmet, because what is a quarterback best friend when you're learning what you're doing? Your tight end, especially a talented big tight end with really good hands. Kmet came out in 2020 as second rounder. And right now he's going right around 120 to 125 here in ADP. Last year's 60 catches and 612, but no touchdowns, just screens, positive touchdown progression here to me. And realistically, he is the red zone threat because he's got size. He's going to come off the line of scrimmage and what is, which has to be a run heavy offense because, oh boy, they can't pass block. Oh my, they can't. So here it comes, Cole Kmet for me, the guy that I'm higher on than consensus.
Yeah, I love Cole Kmet there. Ryan, where are you on Cole Kmet?
Definitely agree with everything that was just said. He's someone that I'm, if I'm waiting on tight end, which I often do, he's someone that I'm real happy to end up with after I've loaded up, two, three running backs, two, three wide receivers, and he's a real good tight end that I like to slot in there.
Yeah, I love seeing him sitting there when I'm punting on early tight end. Don, who are you avoiding besides – this is hard. This is hard on this team. Who are you avoiding at ADP?
It's a challenge, but I really just don't like Darnell Mooney at this spot. The guy's going to get his target share. I mean, last year he had like 140 targets, but he only brought in 81 of them. That's a 56% catch rate. I mean, and it's a lot of drops. It's a lot of misses from the quarterback position and a lot of mess because there's really nobody to take the pressure off of him. So if he's your wide receiver one, and oh, the headline is that he bulked up to 183. Bulked up to 183.
Best shape of his life.
I'm telling you. Realistically, I just don't see it. If he's not scoring from well out, I don't see him really improving a whole lot. I mean, he might get to six. He was at four last year. He might get to six TDs. But realistically, he's not a red zone guy. It's just kind of oof. Where he's going in terms of his overall ADP, there's way better options in my mind.
Well, who is your sleeper then?
My sleeper is actually another wide receiver. It's Equanimeous St. Brown, the former Packer, and this is why it matters, the former Packer who has a real familiarity with the offense because he followed the offensive coordinator here. The Bears targeted him immediately, and he signed on the second day of free agency, so it's somebody that was a priority for them to get. 6'5", here's your catch radius, folks. It was just a dude who didn't get his opportunity in Green Bay because of depth and Rodgers being Rodgers, and now an opportunity, a clear situation where there was nobody else. So he's been kind of a star in camp, and with other injuries to some of the other guys, Velus Jones has flashed a little bit, but Equanimeous has kind of taken advantage of all of his opportunities, and he's currently waiver available in a staggering 99.8% of ESPN leagues. So you can have him for nothing.
You know, I'm going to second that only because of the sibling rivalry. He must be feeling pretty terribly seeing his younger brother Amon-Ra show him up in, you know, and I know there's a third one coming soon. So maybe he upped his game a little bit. I'd be interested to see what he does this year. Well, gentlemen, the
Vision,
over
my friend, if yes. I can play contrarian here for a second with Don.
Oh, please do.
I would. I'm a Darnell Mooney stan this year, so I love Darnell Mooney. I think he's actually a Brandon I think he's a Brandon Cooks-esque type receiver this year, and I have him actually he'll probably fall 18 to 21 in my final positional rank because I think that he developed some really good chemistry down the stretch with Justin Fields last year. And he's the only target like Brandon Cooks was in that Texans offense that will get targets. And yes, it's awful. I don't think there's a lot of touchdown equity there, but I think in a PPR league, he really could be somebody that can outplay his ADP.
Well, hey, 140 targets is 140 targets. So even if he just gets himself up to a 65% catch rate, that's like 90-ish catches. That's pretty darn good. But still, with 140 targets, you want a lot more than nothing.
I hear you.
That's tough. Hopefully the new offensive coordinator and the new head coach will fix a lot of those ills. However, their over-under is 6.5 wins. Ryan, are they going over or under 6.5?
That's actually really close. I'll say Fields takes enough of a step forward to get to 7 wins.
John?
I'm with you, man. I see 7, but I don't see more than 7.
Yeah, it's close.
Justin?
Under. That defense is a dumpster fire.
Especially if Roquan leaves. Rob?
I'm with Justin here. I'm taking the under.
I was going to do a Mauricio and say push, but 6.5, you can't push that. I'm going.
They can tie. Yes, you can. You can tie.
I'm going over. I think they can get to 7, but you're right. Not much more. That's a perfect line. Speaking of teams who, I don't know, supposed to win 6.5 games, Ryan, tell me about Detroit.
You know, I always say even terrible teams score fantasy points. And, you know, especially like a team like the Lions where you're always behind, there is a light at the end of the rainbow. There will be some points scored. I don't think Jared Goff is as bad as fantasy football Twitter makes him out to be. So there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, but it's garbage time points for the most part here.
So who is your must draft player?
The only guy coming with DeAndre Swift. Like I think he's the guy that you can say is going to be, as long as he's healthy, of course, you know, he's going to get the lion's share of the carries. He's involved in the – no?
No, lion's share.
Lion's share.
I thought it was a dad joke. I was giving you props.
I appreciate it. I'm too much of a dad that went right past me, but he's a dynamic player. I know they kind of handle him with kid gloves a little bit, but I've drafted him several times. He's going to be the lead back, and I know Detroit's going to be behind a lot, but he's also involved in the passing game a lot. So, you know, I hope this is finally the year that he really, really breaks out like he's capable of.
Yeah, I hope he breaks out and just doesn't break, right? Like, that's the concern. And I know Jamal Williams had that really emotional speech that we all saw the video of. It's going to be on Hard Knocks. I loved Jamal Williams last year, which makes me a little bit scared. I know he was injured, that he might eat in a little bit. But I don't know. I have to go with DeAndre Swift too.
I mean, you know, there's no doubt that he's going to have his role. I mean, I think that is baked into that idea. But I think Swift is also going to be involved in the passing game enough that he's going to be okay. Like Williams, even when Swift was hurt, didn't light the world on fire. Like he had a couple of decent games, but he didn't exactly take the bull by the horns and become the RB1. Like, you know, he had, you know, a couple of games where he had maybe at 70 yards, but it wasn't like, you know, when Swift was down, like Williams was like gangbusters. So, you know, I think that Swift definitely goes in this year with a chance of being the man again.
And they definitely invested in that offensive line, which will do nothing except help Swift in all aspects. Which player are you avoiding, Ryan?
DJ Chark, honestly, like, I know he's like the camp guy right now, but I mean, he's just had such a hard time staying healthy that I don't know that all of a sudden that he's catching like cool passes and shorts and stuff. And this is, you'll catch my commentary, everyone doing things in shorts. Like, I'm not buying into like a lot of this camp stuff. Okay, he's catching a lot of nice passes, and it's really great, and he's doing really well. But Duke's having a really hard time staying on the field the last couple of years. He's on a new team. I really feel like his ADP is going to start creeping up the more that things happen, and it's creeping up to a level where I'm not all that comfortable with. There's a lot of people who are like really down on my Rossi Brown, and I'm not really sure why. Like, he had a great end of the season, and there's a certain faction of the fantasy football community that says he can't repeat that, and I'm not quite sure why. DJ Chark is fine, but he was an okay guy on the Jaguars, and I'm not sure why he's going to come to the Lions and be all of a sudden this wild wide receiver one.
Because it's an offensive juggernaut? No, that's not it. That's not it. Who's your sleeper then, Ryan?
We're going to go back to running back. So we went to DeAndre Swift, who's had some injury concerns, and I just said that Jamal Williams did not exactly take the ball and run with it. So I'm going to go a little deeper on this one and go Justin Jackson. I didn't really light the world on fire with the Chargers, but it's a new system, a new team. If he gets some opportunity, and again, this is not someone to worry about drafting, but someone to keep an eye on preseason and maybe the first few weeks of the season, that if Swift happens to go down, Jamal Williams is more of a pass catcher than a 20 carry a game guy, that maybe Justin Jackson can grab a little love in the fantasy world too.
Well, for keeping an eye on the waiver wire, I love that pick. Also look for Quintez Cephas. I mean, people forget he actually started off last year pretty well. He had 15 receptions on 22 targets before he got injured in week 5. Not the best wide receiver, but there might be injuries on this team. Jameson might be a little bit late to start.
Definitely.
I'd be interested in taking a little bit of a waiver wire short list for Cephas. Now, looking at their over-under, they're at 6.5. It's another good line, Ryan. Are you going over or under 6.5?
My good friend Steve Rappin is a Detroit Lions fan, and he has long told me the woe of being a fan of this team. So I am going to stick with the under and go with the no way they win 7 games.
Very good. Don?
Look, I love what they're doing from a team-building perspective, but I still got to take the under for another year.
Justin?
They went over for the Chicago Bears, but under for the Lions. I'm definitely over. I'm playing contrarian again on Ryan and Don.
I like that, Rob.
Over for me. They've got the 5th easiest schedule, and yeah, they only won 3 games last year, but they played their heart out under Dan Campbell, and they kept a lot of games close that they lost in the very last second. So if fourth quarters go a little bit their way, a little better, and any sort of progress in the offense, I think it's a smash.
They're biting kneecaps in Detroit.
Listen, I'm a firm believer in anybody that shows up on Hard Knocks is instantly my new favorite team. So I'm going for the over. I think they can. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm going under. What the hell am I talking about? Holy shit.
I will say, though, Dan Campbell was built for Hard Knocks.
Definitely.
Yeah, he's like slender Rex Ryan. I love it. Listen, make sure you are following Ryan on Twitter at Fighting Chance. And when you are done listening to this pod, when you are done, not right now, unless you pause and come back, go to fantasyalarm.com, sign up. It's easy. You can register for free, bookmark the page. They will make you better at fantasy, right? They will make you better at fantasy, especially because they cover every sport. So go to Fantasy Alarm if you haven't done it already. Check them out. They're fantastic. Ryan?
By the way, our NFL draft guide this year is free. 100% free. All you do is create a free account, and everything we have, the cheat sheet, rankings, Howard Bender's rankings, Jim Bowden's rankings, Adam Ronis' rankings, like all that's free this year. It's the first time ever that we've done it, and it's not like, it's not like a magazine. Like if news breaks, we take articles down, we edit stuff, we call a living draft guide. So absolutely go to the fantasyalarm.com. The draft guide is free for the first time, and it's like a huge deal that we're trying to get a lot of people signed up to just, you know, now's the time. You know, you want to get yourself off to a good start. This is a way to do it and to pay absolutely no money.
Invest now and it pays dividends later. But absolutely, Fantasy Alarm, putting out great NFL content. I don't know anything about baseball, but I know Ryan writes a bunch of baseball content, so I'm just going to say it's really good because it sounded really good when I read it. I just don't know if it's true because I don't know. I literally know nothing, Ryan, about baseball.
I write the injury article, but we have a DFS. We have multiple DFS articles every day. And for just, like you said, for everything, WNBA, NASCAR, PGA, like it's just, we really do cover everything. So we welcome you to come to fantasyalarm.com, be a member of the family. And, we have a great offer, honestly, right now for half off the 6 months, which covers you the entire football season. You know, like I said, the draft guide is free. So I appreciate the plug and definitely, we're going to be plugging a big time at the expo this weekend. So I appreciate it. And looking forward to spending the King's Classic draft with you again.
You know, I'm excited for that as well. I don't think I'm the auctioneer this year, though.
Oh, no? Oh, that sucks.
But Bob said he had something for me to do. He just hasn't told me what yet. So I'm just eagerly anticipating my role.
There you go. Me too.
All right. Well, let's get back to this. We have two teams left. Rob, what's going on in Green Bay?
A whole lot of changes on the offensive side of the ball. Aaron Rodgers' favorite target's gone. Devontae Adams is gone. I think this team will not be as good as people think. I don't personally believe that they will win the division this year. There will be some offensive struggles, and Matt LaFleur might call a little bit different play calling scheme there. They're now a great defensive team. I wouldn't call them elite yet, but they've got talent all over the defensive side of the ball. They've got great DBs and safeties. They've got two great running backs. So is it going to be the Aaron Rodgers show? Still, yes, to an extent, but I don't think they'll have to rely on him so much to win games up in Lambeau this year.
So who are you? Who is your must draft player?
Can we just keep Justin muted through this?
Sure.
Not let him talk about Sammy Watkins.
Oh.
honestly, I struggled with the must draft on this team. Frankly, I think the must draft is whatever wide receiver you believe in. Alan Lazard's going at 46, Watson at 54, Randall Cobb at 80. Romeo Doubs at 96. We're not going to talk about Sammy Watkins because you shouldn't believe in him. You shouldn't. Personally for me, it's not Alan Lazard. His draft capital is a little too rich. He's going around guys like Trey Lance, Brandon Ayuk, but I see the upside there. So personally, depending on roster construction, I'm taking my shot on either Randall Cobb or Romeo Doubs in the last round of every draft. I think Randall Cobb's going to be safe. He's got the chemistry with Rodgers. He's going to play in the slot. He's going to be a check down machine for this offense. Depending on my roster construction, if I've got a lot of upside plays, a lot of boom bust players, I think he's a perfect, you know, double or triple flex play to plug in there and get some safe points every week to help balance that out. If I've gone the opposite, if I've got a lot of a low floor or low ceiling, high floor guys, I love taking a shot at Doubs and seeing what he can do. And hopefully, the camp hype is growing. It's growing very quick. As Ryan points out, I mean, everyone's in shorts right now, but the guy looks good. And if Aaron Rodgers is praising the guy and Christian Watson's missing time, then all of a sudden, I mean, I think it's him and Lazard is the one and two at the moment.
That's the drum beat, right? And sometimes you have to ignore the drum beat, but if it continues long enough, it has to mean something, right?
Just take the DMT and go with it.
Who are you avoiding, Rob?
For a lot of things I laid out before, I'm avoiding Aaron Rodgers at quarterback 11. Man, I love the guy. I love the Packers. But all our listeners were in diapers the last time. He wasn't a top 12 quarterback or had Devontae Adams. Personally, I think he finishes in the 14 to 15 range around guys like Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, Matthew Stafford, all guys I'm more looking at. like way a few rounds later, or even Justin Fields, who I think all have more upside than Rodgers. You know, he doesn't have the rushing floor anymore. He used to scramble for a bit more yards. He's getting up there in age. He doesn't have the weapons he once had. And I think overall it means it's going to be a little bit of a down year for him.
I think that's fair. Who is your sleeper then on this team?
My sleeper is Robert Tonyan. He's currently going as the tight end 19. He's basically free in the 14th round of drafts. If I don't go tight end early, I like to grab, you know, two or three of these guys and see which one hits. And Tonyan, Kmet, a lot of guys we've hit on today are guys that I love to grab all of them mid to late round of my draft.
Any concern that he's not practicing yet?
It's preseason. I'm not that concerned. I know he was on a podcast recently. He seemed to suggest that he was doing pretty good, but he just wanted to make sure he was 100% back after seeing David Bakhtiari struggle rush back a little sooner than he needed. I think he's playing it a little over cautious, but I think he will be ready for week one, even if he's a little rusty. But you know, 2 years ago, he was the tight end 3, and he did that on the back of a ton of touchdowns. And Davante Adams is gone. I think the narrative is there. Right now, he's projected to have 5 touchdowns. I think the narrative's there where he can sneak in and get 10 touchdowns. I mean, he's the big target in the red zone now. Alan Lazard is also very tall, but he's not proven. And same thing with Christian Watson, who's also, I believe, 6'5". They're both huge, but do they have the chemistry and the trust of Rodgers? And this is something that you know was established 2 years ago with Robert Tonyan. So I'll take the upside of getting close to you or hitting double digit touchdowns with a guy.
I think not proven is the motto of this receiving core, tight ends included. Nobody.
Randall Cobb's proven. He's just over the hill.
True. All right. So Green Bay is over under by DraftKings is 11 wins. They think they're going to be worse, but not a lot worse. Ryan, over under 11 wins for Green Bay.
You know, I can't argue with anything that was just said, so I think I'm going to go under 11.
Don?
Boy, I wish I could push, but I'm going to have to go over. I'm going to say 12.
Justin?
Under.
Rob?
I'll still take the over. All the negative things I said, I think it will be a slower pace of play, but the defense and running game will get them some W's.
I'm going on the under. I mean, this might be the worst wide receiver core in the league. I mean, or at least challenging Chicago for the worst, but I don't even know if there's a Darnell Mooney on this team or a Cole Kmet. I mean, hell, there's barely a Velus Jones. No, just kidding, Romeo Dubs. I don't want to pick on you. All right, yeah, I'm definitely going under. Justin, it is time to talk about the Vikings.
Yeah, so to close us out with the Purple People Eaters, I will have to say that Rob is completely wrong. Keep an eye on Sammy Watkins for week one, at least on a dart throw DFS.
Justin, you know you're not allowed to talk about him contractually. You are not allowed to talk about Sammy Watkins.
All I'm going to say, the last thing I'll say about it, 60% chance he has hit over 16 points the first week of the season the last 5 years. 60%. Keep that in mind, folks. All right, the Minnesota Vikings. So I find myself on the NFC side. You know, I'm very favorable to the AFC this year from a fantasy perspective because I feel like these stronger offenses are in the AFC. But I find myself, especially in my first redraft league that I started up last weekend, finding a lot of Minnesota Vikings on my team. I really like this offense. I really like the news coming out of camp with Kevin O'Connell and Wes Phillips saying they're going to put the ball in the air a little more, be more dynamic with Dalvin Cook. Obviously, they have Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, KJ Osborne. I love this offense. The defense is still one that's aging a little bit, and so they're not going to knock the socks off of people, and so you might see some higher scoring games. And that's what we want in fantasy, right? We want them to push the ball up and down the field. And so that's, you know, that's fine to me, loving the Minnesota Vikings from a fantasy perspective this season.
So who is your must draft player on this team at ADP?
This one's a layup, right? It's Justin Jefferson. He's my wide receiver one. I'm going as high as potentially fourth overall with Justin Jefferson. I just am that high on him this year. Camp news come out today that he has just been uncoverable, which is not really a surprise, right? It's a guy that's gone over 1,400 yards for the first 2 years of his NFL career. However, it came out today where a beat writer was saying a guy that's over 1,400 yards is still crushing people all day in camp this season. So I love him in PPR. I love him in half PPR. Just got him at six overall in a half PPR league this past weekend. You just can't miss him. You can't miss him.
Yeah, I love that pick. I'm finding myself, I'm in doing a draft right now for Polly's playoff, and I have two Vikings on my team. I'm excited for this offense. But who are you avoiding, Justin?
I'm avoiding Adam Thielen. I've probably avoided Adam Thielen too much in my fantasy career, and he's stuck it to me because somehow, even though his targets and receptions seem to go down each year and it's a trending arrow in the downward fashion, the touchdown targets in the red zone seem to keep going up on the other end. And so he continues to score, but at some point I feel like that's got to go away. KJ Osborne is an ascending talent in this offense. I think Dalvin gets used a little more in the passing game this season. Jefferson's probably going to get more targets in the red zone. If Adam Thielen doesn't score double-digit touchdowns, he's not going to return that wide receiver 29 ranking that he has currently.
That hurts my feelings, but I understand. KJ Osborne is getting a lot of hype. They say he looks very, very good. Who's your sleeper?
It's going back to the wide receivers. It's a theme that you'll hear me talk about all year with the Rod Pod. And it's wide receiver, and it's KJ Osborne. So KJ Osborne's a really good sleeper. He's coming in 79th in the wide receiver rankings, 230th, so he's basically free. You definitely want to take a shot at him. Adam Thielen has already pushed the 30-year-old mark. He potentially can get banged up this season. And we saw what KJ Osborne did in this offense last year when Adam Thielen was banged up. I think Kirk Cousins is a little bit of a sleeper too, which kind of pushes KJ Osborne that way. I just got Kirk Cousins basically for free in like the 13th round in that same half PPR draft this past weekend. So definitely keeping an eye on both of them. I think Cousins has always been a guy that takes care of the ball. And if they're actually going to be more efficient in the passing game, he has nothing to do but go up.
Ryan, where are you on KJ Osborne?
He's not really someone, you know, is a best ball kind of target, but I'm not down on Adam Thielen. I still think, like, you know, basically the reason just was he has to kind of fall off eventually. And, you know, I also have been in the last 2 years off of him, and I have also been wrong. So, like, this year I feel like I'm back on him again. Like, okay, he's made me look stupid for the past 2 years, so, like, maybe it's time to get back on him again. So, you know, Cousins I still think is a viable quarterback for fantasy. So, obviously, Jefferson is there, which, you know, draws a lot of the defense. So, I'm drafting, feeling a decent amount, and Osborne is someone that I'm thinking about many, many rounds later.
All right, gentlemen. The over-under, according to DraftKings, is 9 wins. 9. That's a decent amount, one more than last year. Ryan, are you over or under 9 wins?
I feel like I've been under on pretty much everyone in this division, so I'm going to go over with the Vikings.
Don, over, under?
I can't believe it's 9, but I'm going to go over, too.
Justin, over, under?
Over.
Rob?
Over.
Hey, and
they're second in the division last year with 8 wins. They're going to get some free wins against the Lions and Bears this year. And man, the NFC North has an easy strength of schedule. I like the over a lot on this.
JJ, don't mess it up. It's the only consensus we've had all night.
It's over.
There you go.
Yeah.
Over. I think the Vikings win the division.
He said it's over.
No. I'm going with the over. I think they run away with the division. I may not run away, but I think they win the division this year with all the changes. So I'm going over 9 wins. Wow, we hit them all. Not bad, 115. Gentlemen, it is time for tags. So let the riders know where they can find you and anything you are working on. Ryan.
I'm over at Fantasy Alarm. I do a wide receiver cornerback article during the season where I break down all the outside wide receivers and the 10 best spots in the slot, as well as 5 DFS picks. But for right now, we go to the Fantasy Alarm for the absolutely free draft guide, cheat sheet, everything to get you off to a good start, to get your league off to a great start. We'll be at the Expo hot and heavy. We have a contest where we're giving away a Nick Chubb signed jersey, and come out and find Howard Bender, Andrew Cooper, and the rest of us, John and Pemba, all Britt Flynn, Kevin Tompkins. We're all going to be at Canton in just some of us will be there tomorrow. I'll be there on Friday, but come out to fantasyalarm.com for all the goodies. Get you ready for football season.
Fantastic. Don.
Guys, if you need me, you can find me at Rider Dynasty. The guys will get the contact to me, because I live in a basement and that's where I keep everything. I choose happiness, so I avoid the social media, but I do want to say positive vibes and prayers up go to Sam Hartman, quarterback at Wake Forest. Had to step away with an undisclosed medical emergency. We'll probably keep him out of this year. The dude is a monster. He accounted for 65 touchdowns in his 23 games there. And, was looking for a real big year for him in what could have been a draft year. So good luck to that young man and his family.
All right. We'll keep our prayers up for him. Justin.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at JFHornets25. You can obviously find me here on Wednesday nights with my fellas, Rob and JJ and Don, hopefully to see you more this season. Looking forward to it. Always got to give a shout out to my guy Dave over at Dynasty Dorks and the SGNP podcast. They're always doing some cool things, and we know fantasy. I moonlight a couple times for them throughout the season, so I'm looking forward to it.
Fantastic, Rob.
You can find me on Twitter and on Reddit at TheRotoRob. Haven't been pushing a lot of content recently. I've got a kid at home, but feel free to slide in my DMs, ask me your trade questions, ask me your NFL legal questions, not your personal legal questions. I'm happy to answer them and talk some football.
Thanks, Rob. I should have gone to you for my will. Thank you to Ryan, of course, for joining us tonight. Make sure you're following him at Fighting Chance on Twitter. And like I said, at Fantasy Alarm, he said it. Draft guide. Register. Free, free, free. If it's free, it's for me. Thank you to Don, Justin, and Rob for helping put the show together tonight. You can find me on Twitter at JJ Wenner. I wanted to give a little shout out to my friend Gary Van Dyke. Grumpy, gruff, but generous. Gary has been a huge supporter of Rider Dynasty and my work personally. I was sorry to see you go, buddy, but I can't wait to see what you do next. Best wishes to you and Michelle. Make sure you're checking out gridironratings.com for all of our content. Jeff is almost done doing a complete revamp of the site. The team pages are phenomenal. Next week on the Rod Pod, we welcome Michael Hauf from Fantasy Sports Network to continue our divisional debriefs with the AFC and NFC West. So from all of us to all of you, be safe, be well, and as always, boat drinks, my friends, boat drinks. Have a good night.